First Canto, 8th chapter, verse 38. Yeah. Just in case somebody, a kid starts crying or something. Translation. As the name and fame of a particular body is finished with the disappearance of the living spirit, similarly, if you do not look upon us, all our fame and activities, along with the Pandavas and the Yadus, will end at once. I repeat, as the name and fame of a particular body is finished with the disappearance of the living spirit. Similarly, if you do not look upon us, all our fame and activities, along with the Pandavas and Yadus, will end at once. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Kunti Devi is quite aware of the existence of the Pandavas is due to Sri Krishna only. The Pandavas are undoubtedly well established in name and fame and are guided by the great King Yudhisthira, who is morality personified, and the Yadus are undoubtedly great allies. But without the guidance of Lord Krishna, all of them are non-entities. As much as the senses of the body are useless without the guidance of the consciousness. No one should be proud of his prestige, power, and fame without being guided by the favor of the Supreme Lord. The living beings are always dependent, and the ultimate dependable object is the Lord Himself. We may, therefore, invent by our own advancement of material knowledge all sorts of counteracting material resources, but without being guided by the Lord, all such inventions end in fiasco, however strong and stout the reactionary elements may be. All right. Narayanam namaskarcha, naram chaiva narottamam, devim sarasvatim vyasam, tato jayam udhiraye, nasta prayesha vadreshu, nityam bhagavata sevaya, Bhagavat Yutama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki Idam Bhagavatam Nama Purana Brahma Samitam Uttama Shloka Charitam Chakara Bhagavan Rishi Nishreyasaya Lokasya Danyam Swastayanam Mahat Om Agyana Timirandasya Ganangana Shalakaya Chaksura Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Manobisam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shiguru Shiyuta Padakamalam Shigurun Vaishnavamscha Shirupam Sajjatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sabadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shishi Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sivishakanditam Namo Mahavaranaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gora Tushena. Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, Dinabandhu Jagatate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namastate. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya Bhule, Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namani. Namaste Saraswati Deve. Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Shunyavari Asyachade Satarani Vanshakalpa Truvischa Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavane Vyo Vaishnavi Vyo. Okay, so the ability to speak depends on the audience, how much they want to hear. It's like some birds can fly higher than other birds, you know, because of the atmosphere. They can't go outside of the air. But so all of you can pray that we can say something. I'll say this is for the benefit of those online. We have with us His Holiness Bhakti Vishramba Madhava Swami. So he'll also speak after a little bit. Kunti, Prabhupada loved these prayers of Queen Kunti very much. at least one time, I think twice, when he came to L.A., and, you know, he would spend the December, January or something there, the cold weather. And he went, we were reading somewhere else in the Bhagavatam day by day, but he started back with the prayers of Queen Kunti. So that's why there are so many lectures, and that's why we made that book. So he favored them very much. They're, of course, very pure and simple. The Sanskrit is also very simple in most of them. Not like Brahma Samhita or something. Well, that's also easy because it's so perfect poetry, but Sanskrit's like Bhagavad Gita or something. It's very simple, but the very deep realization, even though she was, you know, family-wise, a Krishna's aunt and superior, she was completely dependent on Krishna. And, of course, here she's just saying that everything, whatever the Pandavas, at this time the Pandavas had the kingdom, and Yudhisthira was the emperor, but she didn't take credit. She all credit goes to Krishna. And that's, you know, that's what we're hoping, to achieve that same consciousness. Just like if the soul leaves the body, then the body is dead, it doesn't function anymore. They declare us dead when the heart is not beating, or the brain is dead or something, or not breathing. Then they know, you know. But why you're not breathing, I don't always know that. What left, what was making the body function? Just like batteries in our battery-powered machines, you know. When the battery goes dead, then they don't work. So it's like the soul and the body. That's where the energy, but it's really coming from the super soul. The super soul is with the soul. And the soul just has a desire, and then the super soul puts us in a particular body to fulfill those desires. And so it's just like Arjuna telling Krishna, take my chariot over here, take it over there. Krishna's driving all of our body chariots and going where we want to. And what we hope to do is give it up, you know. That I saw a Christian church in Singapore, and, you know, the Christian churches, I don't know if you see that, they always put out a little signboard to advertise the next week's talk. They said, let go and let God, that's one of their sayings. Next week, another time it said, melt me, mold me, and then use me. I thought that was pretty good. Just like a sculptor or something, you know, you melt the metal or a candle and you mold it, and then you have to use it. So, you know, they have the right idea, and that this is the idea. Kunti's praying, you know, let me give up my attachment to the family. Even her family's all devotees. But she didn't want to feel it, you know, that bodily attachment. She wanted her consciousness to flow like the Ganges flows to the ocean. Nothing can stop it. They make big dams, but, you know, at some point the dam will break or they have to open it. You can't stop the Ganges from getting to the ocean. Although they're probably trying, you know. They managed to slow it down a little bit, maybe, but draining off water here and there. But that's what she was praying for. And the thing that I always remember the most is, besides all the simple ways she had of remembering Krishna and describing why Krishna appeared, right, the whole long, you know, some say this, some say that, some say for this. But the final one is to spread Krishna consciousness, you know, to spread the teachings, to speak the Bhagavad Gita, actually. She didn't say Bhagavad Gita, but she says, you know, to please the Yadus, to do this, to kill the demons, to all the different things, they're all true. But then she, you know, so she had such a complete understanding of Krishna, it wasn't, you know, just some sentimental attachment as a relative or a mother or something. She had full understanding. But then when she prays for more trouble, that is the interesting thing, and it's a serious topic. I just heard Radhana Swami yesterday, some lecture somebody put up, you know, dealing with reversals. And it's a big topic, and I think the same time someone else put up an article on the internet, somebody else wrote, you know, and in every religion, you know, the adversities, the world means adversities, you know, it just means trouble. There's danger at every step, you know, right? You can't avoid it. People think they can avoid it. I have one little clip movie that Bhatri Prabhu gave it. It's just a little worm, you know, and he's just constantly, the lawnmower is chasing him, and then this and that. Yeah. So we're looking for peace in the mature world, but whichever way you turn, there's just going to be another problem. But for devotees, it, like, they welcome the trouble. Here comes Krishna. You know, Krishna's coming to see what, you know, am I going to act right? Am I going to remember him? It's going to, if I, then he'll help me to overcome these things. And Prabhupada said quite a few times, failure is a pillar of success, right? So I see that. Maybe I have a big pillar so far of failures, but no success. But actually success means you just don't give up, no matter how much, you know, adversities come. And many, many great things come out of adversities. You know, people get knocked out, they get very sick, they come back stronger, you know. Like the Russians, you know, they, now the devotees have had so much trouble, now they got their temple destroyed. And you'll see that they'll come back even stronger. They'll preach even more. That's their nature, which is good. That, but we should all be like that. So she's saying, you know, they tried to poison Bhima when he was a child. They put him in a, tried to burn their house down. They, you know, exiled him to the forest. They had to fight a war, you know. But that made him remember Krishna. So she's praying for more trouble. She's not praying, you know, come on, Krishna. I'm your aunt, and why are you giving me so much trouble? Right? Even Yudhisthira never asked Krishna, well, come on, you know, get me out of this. He just accepted. Even Krishna told Yudhisthira. Krishna, just by Krishna's arrangement, he wasn't there during the gambling match. Right? He was fighting Shalva at the time. And that was actually 1 month in the Mahabharata. And so then he came to see them in the forest. And he said, if I'd have been there, I would have told him not to gamble. I would have told how evil gambling is and how bad it is. I wouldn't have let it happen, but it's too late now. So the dam is broken, and what can I do? But then he told Yudhisthira, sometimes you can say a day is the same as a year. So after 14 days, you can go back. Yudhisthira said, no, I promised a year, so I have to follow. And he was so righteous. But she's recognizing that, you know, that just like Krishna's in the body, the soul is in the body, that's why we love our body and we want to keep it together. That's why bodies look attractive. You know, we think, oh, such a beautiful body, especially now it's like the main consideration of everybody. Beautiful body, who's the most beautiful? Now they don't even say beautiful, they say sexy. And even they have children's beauty contests. You know, people want to look beautiful. Even I see devotees on the internet, you know, they put their pictures. Oh, beautiful. Of course, they are beautiful, but, you know, we should be thinking of the beautiful soul. My mother used to say, beauty is beauty does. Pretty is pretty does. But, you know, beauty, that kind of beauty can be lost in a second, you know. And what I think is beautiful, someone else will think is not beautiful, right? It's all in the eye of the beholder, but it's all relative perceptions. But Krishna is the most beautiful, and whatever beauty, whatever wealth, whatever intelligence, whatever we have, it's just borrowed from Krishna, and we can't keep it very long, only as long as the body lives. But in her case, she's saying that even we're living, but if you leave our kingdom, then it's useless. And when the Pandavas found out that Krishna left the planet, then they left. Yudhisthira had no interest to be the king anymore. Didn't want to live. Haridas Thakur, Lord Chaitanya would send prasadam every day, and one day he didn't eat it. He just said, no, I can't eat today. And But after he said some prayer and took a little bite, he said, I haven't finished my round, so I can't eat. And, you know, they asked him, are you sick? He said, no, I'm not sick. My body's fine, but my mind is sick, and I can't finish my round. So he was chanting very slow. So 190 rounds, you know, you have to chant pretty fast, right? Prabhupada, I was in the garden, Prabhupada asked one time, if Haridas was chanting 7 minutes one round, how long would it take? So somebody said 21 hours. He said, well, how about 5 minutes? And he said 17 hours. Probably it must have been like that. So if he's sick, he couldn't chant that fast, you know. So then Lord Chaitanya came, and Haridas said, and Lord Chaitanya said, you're fully, you know, perfected, and you don't have to keep that regulation anymore. Haridas said, no, 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 I have to keep it. But then he said, I have just one request. He said, I know that very soon you're going to leave the world, and I want to die first. You know, you please give me this benediction. I want to leave my body looking at your face. So Lord Chaitanya said, all right. And he said it in a very nice way. He said, you are always affectionate to, you know, this is another one. If an insignificant insect like me dies, what is the loss? If an ant dies, what is the loss to the whole world? And he says, you are always affectionate to your devotees. I'm just an imitation devotee. But nevertheless, I wish you to fulfill my desire. This is my expectation. So then Lord Chaitanya said, all right, I have to go now, but I'll come back tomorrow. And then he came back with all the devotees. And that's another story. But, you know, he didn't want to be on the planet. He didn't feel there's any use to live without Krishna. So that's what we're hoping to come to. That's, you know, that's all the prayers of the Goswamis, and everything is like that. When, oh, when will that day be mine? When John Lennon, and I was just telling somebody, he was a drug addict, you know. He asked Prabhupada, how do I know who's a good devotee? Prabhupada said, whoever's the most addicted to Krishna. Because an addict, they'll kill their mother to get the drug or something. They'll do anything. That's all they care about. They'll go to prison, they don't care. So it should be like that for chanting. Chanting is being with Krishna. That's desirable. We don't have to get that bad. Prabhupada said, like these drunkards we saw in America on the beach, that they live on wine and all they do is beg money for wine. He said we should be like that. He said they gave up everything. They don't care for family. They don't care for society. They don't care for anything. They gave up everything for wine. He said we should be like that for Krishna. That's, you know, just, I want Krishna. Akeha Kuru Nandana. But that means whatever we're doing in this world, we all have our dharma and we have our work and I have our, you know, whatever we have to do, but we're doing it for Krishna. We're working towards that goal to, you know, just be with Krishna. Then whatever you do can be bhakti. How someone else can be doing the same work and it's just karma kanda. They're just trying to enjoy. It may look the same, but it's not the same. Someone is thinking of Krishna, chanting the holy name. So Kunti is, you know, very special, and these prayers are worth, you know, studying over and over again. And, you know, we have so much commentary from Prabhupada now. And they're all slipping my mind to Sanskrit, and I know a lot of them, but I have to get the clues. But this idea that Let me have more problems. Let me suffer more. That's a very incredible concept, you know, if you think about it. Because generally, like, you see these people in every religion. I saw in America they have many Christians. They have their own they broadcast on television 24 hours. They have that in India too, the sadhu channels, right? So this guy had a huge crowd and a big, like, balconies and everything, and he was saying he was okay, we're going to pray, and
oh Lord, you know, let these people never get sick, never have a problem. You know, everybody will love you. You know, you'll be the big man in town, like everything. And everybody was just, you know, just dumping money in the box when they promised this no problem. But it's impossible. And, you know, we're telling people, you know, people are afraid to surrender to Krishna. It's a lot of people, because they think Krishna is Hari, you know, he's going to take away everything. Devotees are poor. Even Yudhisthira or Pariksit asked, why are the devotees of Krishna poor and the Shivas are rich? But because devotees, and they're not all poor, but, you know, Yudhisthira's opulence bewildered the demigods. They couldn't understand how anyone could have, but he didn't care. He slept in the cow barn, it says in the Mahabharata. Slept on the ground. And he just said he was always preaching to the brothers to protect cows. You know, it's a very important thing. And so, you know, he wasn't trying to enjoy being, he didn't even eat until they fed 60,000 Brahmins. And then Draupadi would eat after him. She would eat till her husband ate. So, you know, he wasn't just trying to, oh, I'm the king now and everybody's bowing down and everyone in the world is coming to pay their taxes voluntarily. He just wanted Krishna to be there. And even when Krishna was going to leave, he's crying and begging him, and then Krishna had to stay longer because Yudhisthira wanted him so badly. So, this is, you know, these people are there. Yudhisthira's trouble, Hanuman told, I guess it's Narada in the Bhagavatam, that Yudhisthira's problems were not karma. You know, it wasn't like his bad karma. It was Krishna's direct arrangement to glorify Yudhisthira, because to show how he handled his problem. And you could even say that about Prabhupada, you know. Think about it, going anywhere without money. You know, I mean, you won't even walk out to the supermarket, walk down the street. You've got to have credit card and cell phone and, you know, wondering about everything. But he went to America without any money, and he didn't know anybody. He just had the names of two Indian people that he never met, and he didn't really know if they were going to meet him or not. But he went anyway because he had so much trust in Krishna. And at that time, there was practically no Indians in America, so it wasn't like you could just go to the Hindu temple or something and get shelter. There were no Indian businesses or anything, just a few Indians, very, very few. They didn't start coming until maybe 1975 or something. But he had so much faith in Krishna. And when his business fell apart, he just remembered how Krishna told Yudhisthira, when I favor someone, I take away everything. Yeah. That doesn't sound like, you know, normal religious teaching these days. It's mostly dharma, kaitava dharma, you know. And the Bhagavatam says dharma kaitava, you know, throughout daitava karma, kaitava karma. Religious activities for material gain is completely rejected by the Bhagavatam. So Narada criticized Vyasa, said, you know, you've given all these yagyas and everything to enjoy the material world, and you're misleading people. That's what they want. That's why the Vedas have all that, because Krishna gives for everybody. But the Bhagavatam, it doesn't entertain any of that. Just puts it down. Just give up everything for Krishna. But then we get the most happiness, what, not even happiness, much beyond happiness. Ananda. So you're all very fortunate here. You have a lot of sadhu sangha. You have a lot of devotees. You know, every time I come, there's some kind of a bhakti shastri or something going on all over the place. Rati yatras. So you don't know how lucky you are. I hope you can I don't know if you can realize it unless you go to some, like Japan or something. You know, it's just a few people there. You have the combination here of, you know, material so-called opulence, but at least, you know, things work. You know, right? You have water and electricity, and good roads, and relatively safe, you know, as far as thieves and everything, decent weather. Sometimes, like, devotees complain about the government. Like, in Singapore, it's really a joke. I said, you better go to Africa before you complain. Find out what really bad government is. But everybody's complaining, you know. So I just trying to get a little book, I have it in English, and Divi Shakti, you know. So she's a fantastic preacher. She's one of the first really big book distributors. She got Devamrita Swami to join. She sold him the books, and he really loved the books, but he thought devotees were weird, and he would never go to the temple. I don't want to be with those people. No, because a bunch of shaved head weirdos. And she went to his house, and, you know, to give him a book, you know, when a new book came or something. He gave her $100, which in 1971 was, you know, no one ever got $100 donation. And she said, what is this? You know, I want $1,000. And he said, oh, and he gave her, he wrote another check, gave her $1,000. And then somehow she said, come to the temple, it's an international, you know, you can have it. And he went, and then Prabhupada was there, and he joined. And quite a few devotees. Now she's in Vrindavan, and she's sending books out all over the India to the libraries, and sitting there, and she has a little shop. But she wrote these little books. So the one is called, I'm a Good Person, Why Am I Suffering? Which is a common question, right? You know, why is God doing this to me? It should be, you know, why... There's a book, Why Do Good Things Happen to Bad People, or Bad Things Happen to Good People. But it should be the other way. We would say it's the other way around. Why do good things happen to bad people? Apparently good. But sometimes the so-called bad thing is a benediction. It makes people either think about God more, you know, trouble. And it depends on the person. Some people get mad. But it should. So we don't have to look for trouble. The world is full of trouble. It's just to maintain a human material body is trouble. Raising children is trouble, but it's pleasure. So Bhaktivinoda said, the trouble I take for Krishna is my pleasure. That's my joy. So we can learn from the great devotees by their example. They didn't have, Devaki, she didn't have a very easy life. Kunti, the Pandavas. But they were able to always remember Krishna. And that's the best thing. The heavenly planets, people don't feel like they have to surrender to Krishna. Things are too nice. So for a devotee, they think that's hell, you know, heaven. Oh, it's horrible. It would be horrible. Have such a luxurious life, you know. When trouble comes, even the atheists sometimes at the time of death, they start. One devotee I heard, she said, her grandfather was always an atheist, and then when he was dying, he said, pray for me or something. She said, but grandfather, you always said you don't believe in God. Well, you know, it's different now, you know. They said there's no atheist in the foxhole, you know, on the battlefield. They dig a hole and they stick in their head out with a gun. You know. Then everybody.
Atheists in the foxholes.
But this devotee, Radhapati, who just left his body in Vrindavan, He told me, and then I heard more about it, but he was a medical something in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And he got shot. He has 4 Purple Hearts. He got shot 4 times because he would go out and try to rescue people, you know, in the middle of all the gunshots. One time they thought he was dead. They zipped him up and everything in a bag.
Mm-hmm.
And then he woke up inside this body bag, you know. Started screaming, and then he sat up. Somebody saw the bag sit up. So they released him from the army then. But he said 400 men died, and, you know, he was right there. And no one ever asked for God, he told me. No one ever, they said, can I have a cigarette? Or my mom, yeah, he told me that. No one ever asked for God.
Nobody asked for God?
Yeah. 400. He said 400. He didn't tell me 400. He said many. But I just heard someone else said 400. So he was when he came to temple, they said he was like immediately disjoint.
Okay.
And was totally surrendered, went out. No one could distribute books there, and he went out and distributed so many books. Because he had so much realization from that experience in Vietnam. And another devotee I know, he was a paramedic in San Francisco. That he learned a lot also about the material world, suffering. Because most of the calls are in San Francisco are either suicide or drug overdose. So you really see the, you know, the tragedy of, you know, thinking you're the body, trying to enjoy the body. And so Krishna in many different ways is trying to teach us. Kunti was understanding, you know, the only thing, the body is existing, and whatever value it has is only because of Krishna's presence. Now I will stop and let Vishwamba Madhava Maharaj speak. All right?
There was a devotee in Sharjah who left his body of a massive heart attack named Shamahari. A lot of people remember him. And on his disappearance time, they asked us to say something. You know, we're Ayaram Gayaram. We don't stay here. We're Ayaram Gayaram. Rama's coming, Rama's gone. You know, we move. So, there's a nice verse in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adya Kanda, chapter 3, verse 486. And in that verse, Lord Gauranga is talking to his guru, Ishwarapuri, about the good fortune of Devananda Pandit, who got the mercy of Rikveshwar Pandit by being his servant. And so Gauranga asked, Siddhar Bhava Devananeti, will somebody become perfect or not? A sangsaya, we may have a doubt. Ashruta sevina. If somebody is doing sadhana or not, who knows? You know, if they don't reveal it, their sadhana to other people, who knows? Your guess is as good as mine. We may have a doubt. But nisangsaya stutat bhakta paricharya ratatani, Guru said. If somebody developed Parichaya Rati, eagerness to serve a devotee, then there's some sort. Don't doubt it. Because Krishna will liberate them. Tulsi Rani is also a very big liberator. One devotee's father died recently. Manchester, UK temple pujari, his father. And they were doing kirtan for 5 hours and he left. So one disciple of Srila Radhanath Maharaj asked me, convey this to my Guru Maharaj, as his opinion. So I conveyed it to him. I was in South Russia Festival and I conveyed it to him. He was great. So I turned to Tulsi Rani. I said, Mother, what do you think? She came in the heart. She said, where would you want that person to go? And I said, well, Mother, you should go to your lotus feet. Don't worry, we will take care of that person. So basically, Tulsi Rani is a big liberator. According to Pundarik Das and his Tulsi Stotra, Moksha, Nama Moksha Pradaya Devi, she gives liberation. She's Moksha Pradaya, she gives liberation. She likes to do that. Some devotees are not qualified for that. So in Tulsi Kavacham, it says, Svargaya Svargamichato. If they want Swarga, heavenly planets, they can get that from her. So, where did my relative go? Wherever they go is better than where they were. That's for sure. Tulsi Rani is Bhakti Chaitanya Karani, the efficient cause of devotional mood. And Sarvaso Bhagyavardhani, everyone's good fortune is expanded by her. So, regardless of a living entity gets Swarga.
Mute your microphone.
Or they get liberation. Wherever they go is better than where they were. So nobody should lament. And the more we love devotees, Purushottam Maharaj said, he goes,
yes.
After he saw this story, he said,
yeah, I'm just going to serve devotees.
If we try to always serve devotees, then Lord Gauranga will always liberate us. Sure. Because they always love devotees and always serve devotees. Then, nobody should doubt if somebody develops paricharya rati. Because this is serve a devotee. This is samsaya. Don't doubt. This is a destination. Don't doubt it. So, but some people's relatives are not that spiritual. So you may have a doubt. It's like, you know, in Manchester, they had a doubt. Well, Pujari's out, but he's not so spiritual. So, what's very interesting is Tamalkrishna Maharaj once said, before somebody's departure, we pray for them. And after their departure, we pray to them. It's quite interesting, you know? Quite interesting thing to think about that. And we may have our karma. And, you know, when I heard, I was in South Russia when I heard about Radhapati leaving his body in Vrindavan. He was another dude. He was doing a lot of things, taking care of cows, he was taking care of the Giriraj temple on the Parikrama Marga. He took care of that. And he was always loving devotees and serving devotees. So one of his things left over from the Vietnam War, he had some brain problems, some hemorrhage or something like that. He died of a hemorrhage, massive brain hemorrhage. So they sent me some photos. And then I said, well, it looks like him. Then they sent a photo when he was alive. Now, that's definitely him. So, you know, it was like there was another Avadutta god brother. He was really Avadutta. Radhakunda from St. Louis was really Avadutta. You can be whatever you are. It's your spouse, your friend, your god brother, your god sister, they say he was really Avadutta. You know, Radhakund Prabhu, he left his body on Varundhani Akadasi in Vrindavan. You can be whatever you want. You leave in Vrindavan on Akadasi, liberated anyway. You know? I was telling a funny story about some bunnya in Vrindavan. And he's a materialistic bunnya. And he told his relatives, if anything happens to me, don't take me out of Vrindavan. He had a massive heart attack. His relatives got bewildered, and they took him to CMC Hospital, which at the time, it's closed now, but at the time it was a maternity hospital in Vrindavan. We can't do anything for him. This is a maternity hospital. Take him to AIMS, all in the Institute of Medical Science in Delhi. So they put him in the car. And as soon as the vehicle got out of Banchari, which is the border of Vrindavan and Haryana and there, Banchari, then, ta! He left his body. And all the bunnies in Vrindavan went, There was another devotee who was really working hard to serve devotees. He was distributing books in Siberia, you know, in Siberia. Like, woo! Well, there's one Russian devotee that's coming to Rush. This Friday, and he's from there, and he told me in the winter he gets -54 in Barcelona. This is South Siberia. -54. Ooh, -54.0.
That means if you spit, it freezes before it hits the ground.
-54?
Yeah.
Really, really cold. So, and he's a hacker cracker. He helps me out with my Mac problems in Vrindavan, you know, when I've got it, you know. He's quite good at that. So, but he told me that. So this devotee that I saw later on, must have been, 98 in the summer. He was stout and strong. And then he developed colon cancer. Colon cancer means 6 months. He wasted his away. All his muscles, everything wasted away as he was trying to fight the colon cancer. Go take, good waters, good places, something, nothing happened. So finally he resigned that he's going to leave his body. And they did a collection for him in front of Sannyasi Godbrother, my festival. And I donated $100 to start the kitty. And within a few days, they collected enough for him and his servant to go to Vrindavan. When he went to Vrindavan in June, Pandav Nirjala Ekadasi, blazing, you know, it's like 45 degrees in the shade, you know, in Vrindavan, really blazing hot. Sriji came in his dream and said, "Welcome to Vrindavan. You just think of us and we'll take care of everything." One devotee asked him, "What else did she say?" "Oh, I forgot, you know." And he stayed for 4 days. He went down to Prabhupada Samadhi, took some ice cream, went back to his place. He was staying at Prithu's ashram, in Prabhupada Vani ashram at the time. And he left his body. He was having pains. And he said, "God, if I could just have one day with no pain, then I could leave, think of Krishna, and sleep." So on Pandav Nirjala Ekadasi, he woke up at 6 in the morning. He said, "Hey, I don't have any pain. Maybe today is the day." Sure was. 11 o'clock, he left his body with a big smile on his face. Now, he was skin and bones, luckily. I saw him. And they put his body on a big block of ice. And his servant ran to Delhi, to the Ukrainian embassy, Saturday, to get permission. And they called his mother in Simferopol. She granted permission. "Yeah, I can be buried in Vrindavan." You know, and they cremated his body in Vrindavan. And now they said, "If you're going to come to Vrindavan to die, please bring all your papers and get all your papers in order. Get your estate in order, you know, before you die." But this devotee was very happy, and he came to Vraj for 4 days before he gave up his body. And Sriji said, "Welcome to Vrindavan. Just think of us. We'll take care of everything else." And that Bunya, who was born in Vrindavan, couldn't die.
Many like that. You hear stories like that all the time.
Many Bunyas?
Yeah. Their family takes them out.
Takes him out of
his and they're begging, "Don't take me out," but they think, no, we got to save his life, and they take him to himself.
Take him out and he dies, you know.
What the Radhapati, he came to Vrindavan, he came to L.A., and the doctors told him he couldn't live more than 6 months.
Yeah.
And the devotees...
Radhapati.
Yeah, the devotees just said, "You have to go to Vrindavan." They practically put him on the plane, and he went to Vrindavan. 15 years, it's
he saved 15 years. He was kind of an avaduta.
Not kind of one. Last time I met him, well, he was a little bit healthier then. He went every day prickham around Vrindavan.
Mm-hmm.
So at first he used to cook like hundreds of chapatis and then go around and feed all the kids and dogs and everything. And then later he just gave out candies or something. He used to get money, you know, he didn't have to worry, he got money from the army. And he would take Jamuna water and spray it on the trees. And the Brijvasis called him Jamuna Manjari. They loved him. He lived with some Brijvasis. They just accepted him as one of their family. He was quite an extraordinary person. But he helped devotees a lot. He helped in many ways.
And he lived 15 years after they predicted he would leave.
They said he couldn't possibly live more than 6 months. He had this brain tumor from his wounds, and one wound went right through his body, one bullet.
Mm-hmm.
He had 4 purple hearts. A purple heart means you get injured, seriously.
Purple heart basically means you really put yourself on the line for somebody else.
Yeah, he was going out in the middle of the fire to drag somebody away, you know, that got shot. But anyway, there's a lot of personalities in ISKCON.
15 years. He lived 15 years.
And he did prickhama every day. And on the special days, he did the whole Mathura prickhama.
That is
much.
Yeah, but see, the Mathura of Vrindavan Parikrama is like, God, it's May.
That's right.
And you put a Charbert out there and stuff, and it's still, May, it's still pretty hot, you know? And then Mathura of Vrindavan Parikrama is May. Woo! You know?
Hottest time.
It's a hot time. Why are they doing Vrindavan Mathura Parikrama in May? And it's quiet. Everybody and his brother out there.
Yeah, it's like the streets of Tokyo or something.
What?
So many people walking. Yeah, the freaking material. It's like Govardhan on Govardhan Puja Day.
Somebody was asking me about doing Govardhan Parikrama from a Ekadasi. If you want a peaceful Parikrama, don't go from a Ekadasi to Purnima. Or have some good earplugs. There's going to be a good amount of noise out there, you know. From, you know, it's going to be not only crowded, but there'll be a lot of noise from Ekadasi to Purnima. If you want a peaceful Parikrama, don't go on those in that time. Go before Ekadasi, you know. Ekadasi to Purnima is
great. Purnima, they go at night.
Yeah.
That's easy.
That's...
Because it gets Shukla. Colder and colder, so you just go on faster.
If you have a Purnima Shukla, then they go on midnight Parikrama, like night Parikrama. You know, what was very interesting about Srila Sanatana Pad is that when he was getting old, he was staying at Chakaleshwar Mahadev. Mahadev is his last bhajan kutir. He's getting old. And so Sri Krishna told him, why are you doing all this trouble, you know? 90 years old, and he's doing Vrindavan, Govardhan Parikrama. And Krishna told him, how do you just simply, you know, go seven times around the Shila? Give him a Govardhan Shila. Hey, you go seven times around the Shila. It's not that part of Gaur. He did it anyway, you know? He did it anyway. He walked around Govardhan anyway. Very interesting stuff. But that verse was really good. Siddhar Bhavati Vai Niyatiya Sangsayara Chota Sevina. You know, because this is why I really like sadhana charts. Because it proves to everybody exactly what you're doing. It's not what the shastra tells us you should do. It's not what the institution tells us you should do. Or your friends tell you should do. It's what are you doing. And you display a Vaishnava, a Vaishnavi of substance. They can say, you know, we have no public life in that sense. They can see where I'm at, you know. It's really interesting. So, when you put it up, it's there for the world. Anybody can see what you're doing. Your sadhana is doing. I wouldn't know like that. It's just, sadhana iti sadhana. The Sanskrit is that your spiritual wealth is your practice. Or spiritual practice. Sadhana iti sadhana.
In the Bengali proverb, Prabhupada said all the time, it will be tested at the time of death.
Which one? The bhajan koro, sajan koro, mobi dhamni one?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. If you'll be tested if you what your sadhana really was at the time of death, we'll know.
Everybody is scared of death, you know? And it's a scary thing, huh? It was described, there's websites about acceptance of death, because basically, you know, everybody's going to go. And they were talking about, you know, people getting angry toward the time of death. They get angry and stuff like that. Everybody is on the path. There was a funny, there's a pundit devotee, disciple of Satsuru Marsh, whose wife is initiated by Tamal Krishna Marsh. So, the day after his Tamal Krishna Marsh disappearance, I went from South Africa to Mauritius. So, he was there, and he took me in. And I had, you know, some Tarababu stuff. And his wife invites all the devotees and feeds them up, you know. The ladies will feed you the dead, but they're not going to exercise for you. You know, it's a joke, you know. So, they're talking about this. So what happened was, Mukta Purushdas told me that there was a story from Brahma Vaivarta Purana wherein some 24-year-old girl. Her husband died of some gastroenteritis or something. And so she's thinking, now look, I'm a young lady, and I'm newly married, and I've lost my husband. Now what kind of papa have I done to deserve this? And so Varuna, Vayu, Agni, you know, Surya, they all came and they tried to pacify her. She was inconsolable. If I don't get the answer, I'll curse all of you. Yamaraj came in the form of a boy and said, Mother, the duration of life of every living entity is in the hand of the personality of Godhead Krishna. After their departure, they may come under my jurisdiction. 99.9% do. Only 1%. 1% is out, you know. Yamaraj is quite humble about it. Your husband left because his time was up. And she was chup. She was completely quiet. He was completely pacified by that. Your husband left because his time was up. The duration of life of everybody. When we're chanting and doing things, you know?
Let's see if there's any questions.
When we're chanting or something, we're always having difficulties with our sadhana, but our deities love us probably more. It's interesting. For our insignificant service, Krishna supports, facilitates, and maintains his devotee. You know? In exchange for our insignificant service, and he does his job better than we do our job. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad, when the Damodar Leela, when Krishna was bound up by the rope, he mentions there that there are two energies of Krishna, the Leela Shakti and the Svaitcha Siddha Shakti. Whatever Krishna desires gets done successfully. So Krishna, Balkrishna was, I haven't finished playing Leela Shakti and Svaitcha Siddha Shakti. But when Krishna saw that his mother was perspiring and the Kripa Shakti came forward, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, and the other two potencies took the back burner. She could buy Krishna, you know, her love of Krishna. It was very interesting. So that's why Icha Siddha Shakti is a pretty interesting statement. That when Krishna makes a decision, it's God.
Can we take a few questions?
Yeah. We usually get a few from.
Oh, yeah. We'll close out with one last people. Any questions, anybody?
Yeah. Really? Okay. So we got a pretty big crowd. From all over the world, right? Yeah. Questions here?
No.
Yeah, that's a fact. But Kunti's thinking that that fame is useless because it's all just due to Krishna. So it does go away, though. At some point, nobody even remembers the name that's stated by Bhumi in the 12th canto. You know, so many kings have come and ruled the world and
Bhumigita.
And then later, nobody knows.
Famous section.
Their name is forgotten. And nowadays, they found in America, like the many people, the young people, they don't even know the name of the current president, what to speak of the past president. They know, of course, for, you know, some baseball player or some rock star or movie star.
They don't even know the name of the current president.
Yeah.
What to speak
yeah,
of the previous
like, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, some they don't care. You know, why should they care? They just come and go.
But they know, everybody knows somebody, you know, that they think is big, but so many people were very famous, you know, when I was young, and now nobody ever heard of them. Only Krishna is the most famous. Krishna is unlimited. No. Well, the soul never dies, but, you know, that particular thing that they're remembering is finished. They're only remembering the body. The body's not still alive. The soul is still alive, but who knows where it is. It doesn't have to be in a material body. Krishna is always famous. Yeah, and Krishna's devotees, Hanuman. So that's what... When Lord Chaitanya asked Ramananda Roy, what is real fame? And he said, to be famous as a devotee, that's real fame. The other fame is useless. So many famous people in the world now. Now, you know, they call everybody a legend. You know, the legendary rock singer, the legendary football player, and they're still alive, you know. Even when I was young, to be a legend, you have to be dead at least, you know, 100 years or something.
To be a legend?
You know, yeah, they, you know, that whatever you did had some... lasting effect, not that you made a few scores in a football game or something and then you become a legendary, you know. It's just so cheap, you know. That fame just comes and goes. And
you have,
and
you have to be dead,
nobody's world famous.
You have to be dead at least 100 years to have a legacy?
I don't know. You know, maybe longer.
Maybe longer.
Today also happens to be Gandhi Jayanti.
Oh, yeah? Gandhi.
And Prabhupada spoke so much about this person, and he was a true legend in many ways, in compared to many others. But even now, it's just gross. Till 1st of October, and then there's a little cleanup and a mala on him.
Yeah.
And his biggest contribution to India, as my Guru Maharaj put it some time ago, his biggest contribution is that public holiday, and that's the only thing that they nobody follows, nobody even understands what he stood for. In Kerala, they are very angry with Gandhi Jayanti because that day is prohibition. They don't get alcohol to drink. But that's all. That's all about the person. So, fame in the medieval world.
For they put his face on because.
They go MG Road, you know. Who is MG? Bangalore, MG Road. Who in the heck is MG? After one generation, two generations,
they go on the name.
But Gandhi's face is on every money of India, but he didn't want money. It's complete opposite of what he was promoting. He wanted, you know, a barter system training, village life. So they put his face on every paper, you know, no matter from 5 rupees up to 500.
Yeah, there is a statement that some person said, amongst politicians, he was a saint. But among saints, he was a politician. Who said that? Anybody know who said that?
Who was that?
Nehru said that about Gandhi?
I know.
But among politicians, he was a saint. But among saints, he was a politician. You think Nehru probably said that?
I don't think Nehru.
Nehru probably had more respect for Gandhi than that, you know. Maybe he thought about it, but he probably didn't say
He might have said he was a saint among politicians, and he wouldn't have put him down because Gandhi gave him his position.
Gandhi gave him his position to be
made, he made him the prime minister. He had to back Gandhi.
Probably.
Any other questions? A little bit late. Okay. Ramananda?
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Okay, thank you very much. Jai. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj.